a Tuesday night, or L'chol Dalet Menachem Av. We're doing a lot of brachas these days, and we'll talk a little about Shinui Mokom tonight. We'll talk about Shinui Mokom. Shinui Mokom means you changed your place. And Shinui Mokom requires or makes necessary another bracha rishona for dvarim she'enam tunim bracha achrona b'mekomam, for things which do not necessitate that you, which do not need you to make the bracha achrona in the place where you ate. You can make it in a different place. That's, we won't go into now the reason and how it's kashur, but just the halacha that the din of Shinui Mokom, that it requires a new bracha rishona, is for things that do not require a bracha achrona in the place where you ate. Now, that's la'afuke bread, mine dogon mazonos, and the shivas aminim is a shaila, if they require a bracha achrona dafka in the place where you ate, and therefore, there's a shaila if Shinui Mokom affects them. L'chadchila, the Mishnah Berurah, the Bir Halacha, suggests being nizhar not to do a Shinui Mokom even for Mazonos and the Zayin Minim. In fact, if you're going to do a Shinui Mokom for these things, you should really, the Eitzah, what you should do, even though it sounds like a Bracha Sheinah Tzricha, but it's brought down, Rav Moshe explains it's not a bracha shena tzricha if you're coming to avoid being dependent on a machlokas that's not huchra, really, lahalacha. So you make a bracha achrona. And once you made a bracha achrona where you ate, and then you certainly have to make a new bracha rishona in the new place. And that's what you should do if you plan on making a shini makom from the zonos and the shivas aminim. You should make a bracha achrona before you go to the new place, and therefore, it's not a bracha shena tzricha. You certainly, of course, make a new bracha rishona in the new place. Okay, that's l'chatchila. But the eved, we say that you do not make a new bracha rishona for mazonos and for shivas aminim. What is shinui mokom, you might ask? Okay, outside your house, outside, into the chotzer even, or to another house, is shinui mokom. Cheder lecheder, under the same roof. Mishnah Berurah paskins, bottom line, even though it's a big discussion about it, but mecheder lecheder, bottom line, should not be considered shinui mokom, and certainly the olam I think is mekel even lechatchila, that mecheder lecheder they go, and it's not called shinui mokom. The question is always things like in a building with different houses, a different bailus. What about the cheder madregot? So if you go into a different bailus, let's say you go from your house, there's a connecting door to someone else's house. So there, the achrayim say if it's a different bailus, and even if there's a general roof for everything, like in a house, in a building. But it should be considered shinui mokom if it's under a different bailus, if it belongs to someone else. Now the question is, what about the cheder madrigot? You're in your apartment, and then you go out into the hall, then you go back. So there's the contemporary poskim argue if the mokom meshutaf, the cheder madrigot is called a shinui mokom. Now, assuming someone else's house is a shinui mokom, even if there's the same general roof, but what about the cheder madrigos? It's a shayla. You should try to avoid that situation because you'll have a shayla of a suffik bracha. In a shetach pasuach, if it's not what we talked about a few days ago, meaning you are koveya in a shetach pasuach, you are koveya. Not what we talked about a few days ago, but you are koveya. Then where you can't see the place anymore from, that is considered shinui mokom, when you can't see the original place from there. One final thing, a merpeset is problematic, questionable, I should say. Not a merpeset with a roof, then it's considered to share the same roof as the house, even if it's a different roof, really. But it's considered cheder lecheder. But if it's no roof on the merpeset, so is it like you're going into the chotzer or not? Again, it's a shaila. The contemporary poskim are chaylik, different opinions, and you should try to avoid that situation. You should try to avoid the situation of walking into onto a merpeset. Like here, I think here, you go beyond, if you walk onto the porch, after a certain point, there's no more roof. I'm not even sure if that first thing is called a roof at all. What is it there for? To protect you from the rain? Then it's a roof. Okay, maybe it's a roof. I don't know. Okay, those are some basic halachas about Shinui Makom. Now, we're going to learn about Bitachon. So now's your chance to make a Shinui Makom, if you want. We're learning Chavis Halavis. We're doing the Hakdamah to Bitachon. We're not even touching upon Dinyan Bitachon, which takes work. So we're in the Psicha for Bitachon, and he lists the benefits of Bitachon. So we listed the spiritual benefits. Now we're up to, hey, you know, what have you done for me lately? What are the toalios, he calls them, what are the benefits in Olam Hazeh? So he says, first of all, we said this night, no stress. You're not worried. And that is the cause of so many illnesses and of so many shalom bayis issues, I would add. He doesn't say that. I say it. And the cause of so many problems is stress and worry and anxiety. So that's a tremendous benefit. When you're kone bitachon, you have to follow the game plan of bitachon. It's not easy. He has 7 chapters and you got to follow it. It's a workbook and you have to work on it. But once you have it, if you get it, or to whatever degree you get it, very, very beneficial for your physical health and certainly your emotional health. Number two, the second benefit in Olam Hazeh is, I don't know, you know, the Olam's going to listen to it. Our Olam here, Baruch Hashem, they're not here. So, but our Olam here, it might have some sort of, he says, you don't have to strain yourself and do crazy things for your parnasa. You don't have to travel far. You don't have to take a parnasa that impedes upon your life. If you, because Hashem, you know, apparently you're allowed to say, there's no way Hashem wants me to do this, and I have bitachon, Hashem will send me parnasa. He's not talking about working hard, by the way. You're supposed to work hard. He's talking about doing things that are injurious. Maybe to your family, maybe to your own health, right? You have to, if you do something, he says, he talks about just traveling to your job, derech rachok. Now in his days, you know, we're talking about 1100 years ago, I imagine traveling far to your job was injurious to your health and everything else. Nowadays, people think nothing. I don't know, like you can't apply and say, okay, he's talking about if you work in America. I'm not talking about that necessarily. He's talking about, though, something that's injurious to you, mechale hagufos, and it takes years off your life. And I'm adding to that, your family can't really handle it. It's not good for your family. So a Baal Bitachon, he tells an apocryphal story of another story, which we don't know if it's true or not, if it ever happened. He says the Parush, an ascetic, really, he has these Purushim that always are involved in his story. So he goes to a faraway land to seek Parnasa, and he meets an Oved Avodah Zarah, and he says, what are you, out of your mind? What are you worshipping here? So the guy, says, well, who do you worship? He says, I worship the Borei Olam, HaKol Yachol, single Hashem Echad. He says, what are you doing here, by the way? He says, I came to seek Parnasa. He says, your Hashem can't give you Parnasa where you come from? So he says, you know, he had a point, and he went back home, and he didn't look for Parnasa anymore so far away. So again, this can't be really dealt with in the few seconds that we have this mini shiur. This is an inyan b'fnei atzmo about bitachon and how do you feel about it, and maybe, you know, maybe there's a lot of factors that come into play. But the general point he's making is that a Baal Bitachon doesn't shoot himself in the foot. Because what do I can do? I have to make a parnosa. So if you have Bitachon, you don't do something that's injurious, either to your spiritual life. I'm adding, he doesn't talk about that. He talks about to your physical life. I'm adding to your spiritual life. You don't do that. You're allowed to say, I have bitachon that Hashem will give me parnosa in a way that I don't have to, as we call it, shoot myself in the foot. That's the general idea. That's benefit number two, is that you don't have to seek parnosa in a way that is counterproductive to your life. The bitachon understands that Hashem will provide, has many ways to provide. You don't have to do that. Again, any particular case, you have to come. It's an issue that doesn't mean you're not allowed to work in America, right? If you can handle it, and you have, let's say, a certain professional standing there, and you want to work there because you have a professional standing. There are a lot of factors. You have to come ask a shaila. Okay, benefit number three. Benefit number three is the type of work you do. It's sort of like number two, except it's talking about that you don't take a job that is questionable. He says, for example, he says you would never become a politician in order to earn parnasa. That's a terrible thing to do. Why in the world would you want to do that and have such a life? Now, maybe there are politicians that actually mean to serve the tzibur, so maybe. Anyway, he says, Abateach Bashem looks for parnosa in ways that are satisfying to him and leaves him time to learn. Leaves him time to learn, leaves him time to breathe, leaves him time to have a normal life. Before, he was talking more about the physical tircha of getting to the job. Here he's talking about the job itself. Because he understands, the Baal Bitachon understands that the Siba through which Hashem is channeling the Parnasa is not objectively necessary. Hashem has many, many channels. Okay, number four, benefit number four, is that he says he doesn't get nervous if he has a slow, it's also an inyan of stress, really. He doesn't go crazy if he has a slow month. And if his inventory is up or his inventory is down, or if the shipment's going to come in on time, if you're in Medina Israel, you wonder if there's going to be a port strike, and who knows what's going to happen, and maybe the refrigerator broke the day after the warranty ended, and you know, you go crazy over these things. But Baal Bitachon is calm and smiling, and he doesn't get fazed by the things that happen. He knows it's from Hashem, and he deals with it. That's all. That's number one, two, three, four. Benefit number four is that you have a very happy life, and you don't get thrown by, as I say, by things that happen. How many people go crazy? I gave him a stock tip, and he said, okay, I'll wait till tomorrow, and then it shot up. And he's killing himself. Well, he took the tip and went down, and he's killing himself. Well, all his friends made a killing in high tech, and punk, when he went in, it all crashed down. And you go crazy, and people get sick from this. So that's what he's talking about there. The next benefit is also, again, it's all the same thing. The next benefit is that you're cool with whatever happens to you. You know Hashem does whatever's best for you. The Baal Bitachon has worked on the midah of that whatever Hashem does is for the best and is the best. That's not what the midah of Bitachon is, but to become a Baal Bitachon, you have to have that midah as well, because it's one of the things you have to develop that will allow you to be a Baal Bitachon. If you're not sure that Hashem always does things that are good for you, it's going to be virtually impossible to develop Bitachon. Okay, so that's that benefit, is that you're always besimcha, no matter what happens to you. which is certainly healthy. He compares it, he says, if things are not going well, he says, Hashem is diapering you, he says. If you look at a child being diapered, he's fighting the mother. He thinks the mother's doing terrible things to him. And all she's doing is cleaning him and diapering him and taking care of him. And he's screaming and flailing away. He says, that's, David HaMelech said that. Imlo shivisi v'doimamti, I should be quiet, nafshi kegamul aleimo, like an infant by the mother, kegamul alei nafshi. So the Chazalov says, he even uses the word, I don't know who has this word, I didn't know, it was, I thought it was a modern Hebrew word, chituli, chitulo. How do you say diapers? Tulum. So this is already the translation, not of Kapach, this is a Ibn Timon's translation. He says chitulo. So I don't know what it means, but it means diapering. So just remember, next time you're having a difficult spell, Hashem is diapering you.